You want to give your full name?
My name is Robert Marshall Sadler.
Go back to the time this started. How close can you fix the date and the location of the incident?
The location of the incident was at Otis Air Force Base in Massachusetts. And I fixed the approximate date sometime in the summer of 1964.
Can you be any more precise on the date? What part of the summer?
I have a feeling that it was in the late summer, probably late August or early September, as it was kind of cold at the time.
Okay, and the time of day?
The time of day would have been late in the evening. It was probably around 10 o'clock.
It was dark?
It was dark, yes, very dark.
Now, you say Otis Air Force Base was actually on base property?
Yes, it was on base property in the housing, residential area.
Can you locate that relative to any major part of the base that would be recognizable?
Right. The entrance of the base, there was a gate and about a 2-mile drive, and you approach the housing area first before you reach the actual base, and it was a right-hand turn off this major road that led into the base. Back at the time, we lived on what was then known as Fairchild Avenue. The name has changed. I'm not sure anymore.
When this happened, how close were you to the housing and to your house in particular?
In fact, this happened almost in my backyard. It was probably around 60 feet from where I live.
An open area?
We had a sort of a strange yard. It had a flat section and a small rising hill, and at the very top of the hill, it met the forest. This is a very foresty sort of area. The base was surrounded by a park reserve, almost. In fact, at one time, it had been an army base used for training before the war, before it had been converted to an Air Force base. So, yes, it was very close, right at the edge of the forest.
Okay, now, do you want to start describing the experience from the point where you entered the forest?
Okay.
And why, and anything you can think of.
Well, being a young kid, I think we were just out for a stroll. I was with a friend. His first name was David. His last name I'm unable to recall for some reason, but he was approximately 2-3 years older than I was, I being around 12, 13, somewhere between there at the time, Dave being approximately 15. And we had gone out for a walk, and we went out my front door, around the side of my house, across my backyard, and up this small rising hill to the edge of the forest, in which there were trails and paths that led into the forest from there. And we're merely walking across the top of the hill when we noticed a flashing light, a flash of white light.
You were not yet in the woods?
No, we were not as yet in the woods, on the very edge. And still within sight of my home, easily within sight of my home. And thinking that it was someone with a flashlight, we dropped back. In fact, David went back down the hill into my yard. And it was my idea that we should stay to see who it was. And I remained on top of the hill.
Why do you think he dropped back?
It was sort of, I don't know, being late at night, I guess it was that instant sort of scare that one feels at that age, and Dave thought that we should go back farther than we actually did, or than I actually did, and he ran down the hill at the time. In fact, it was a fairly steep hill, so he just sort of ran down the hill, and I remained behind. And no sooner had I said, let's wait to see who it was, than in turning around, there was a flash of light in which I blinked. And in opening my eyes, I found myself in the presence of a glowing, humanoid-shaped being.
Were you in the woods at this point?
No, this was, again, at the very, very edge. In fact, still within sight of my home, right in, almost in the backyard, possibly.
Okay, now, first you want to describe this glowing being.
Okay, as well as I can. At that time, I was rather tall for my age, so I set the being's approximate height at around 6 feet. It seemed it was a little bit taller than myself. I don't know how to describe it any other than it was a humanoid shape, very humanoid, and a male in form, as far as form and musculature, it seemed like to me. Glowing white from head to toe.
Did the glow vary any?
the glow didn't vary to me. It seemed very uniform from head to toe, in fact, but it was very soft and wasn't harsh on the eyes. It was easy to look at. In fact, I think if you've seen the radium-coated hands on a clock or watch, it's very much like that, but a white color.
How close were you?
Approximately 3 feet. I still remember that very clearly. It was very close, very close. I could have reached out and touched it, but for some reason, I didn't.
What was it doing?
It was merely standing there, and as far as I could tell, staring at me, which I was doing also, staring back at it. The body seemed to be surrounded by a layer of some sort which extended out from it, such as what we might term an aura, or a layer of what looked like a gas of some sort. And it was, you could see moving, sort of in a sense, as apart from the body, but the light coming definitely from the body and shining out through this layer. There appeared to be no clothes of any sort, and yet no hair that I could tell on the body, no distinctive markings such as you might see of wrinkles on a human being or coloration of any kind, just this very uniform, soft, white glow coming from the body. As I said, there were eyes, very distinct eyes, almond shaped, very much like ours, but intense white there. That was the only difference as far as the coloration in the body were the eyes themselves, which extended down to a very normal looking face, a nose, but no mouth as far as I could tell, at least lips, which distinguish our mouth on the face. Ears looked very much like ours, except as far as they seemed to be smoother and not as convoluted in their form. Body very smooth. Very smooth, and no markings on it, as I reiterate. Very human-shaped arms, hands, legs. Nothing different, as I could tell, it seemed very, didn't frighten me whatsoever. In fact, on a warm summer night, the insects usually chirping were unusually absent. There was an unusual absence of sound, total, almost. It seemed like wrapped in a blanket, there was no sound whatsoever. And I'm sure if you've observed the phenomenon of looking at a white light for any length of time, how darkness appears to surround the life form, which is another thing that occurred to me at the time that I was looking at it. The amount of time that took place or that spanned, I have really no idea. I'm sure it was very short, although it seemed long to me at the time. I'm not sure what else to do.
What happened? You were standing there staring at it. It was staring at you. Was it moving?
It seemed to raise its arm, the one arm. In fact, I guess I think it would be the right one, but made no real normal gesture like I would have taken it to mean something. But on the other hand, nothing that scared me. No quick jerking movements or anything like of that nature. It made no steps towards me. Nor did it make a sound of any sort that I could tell. I felt very calm and felt no fear whatsoever of it. And then suddenly, just as easily as it had come, it disappeared. And disappeared totally, I mean, spontaneously. Nothing left, no fade out or gradual disappearance or something along that nature, but very, very sudden.
Any movement connected with the disappearance?
None that I could tell. And it sort of remained, I guess, from staring at the light. There was
a
shape, an after image from looking at the light.
Let's go back to your description of it. You have a waist?
Yes, very much so. It had a definite V form, a very, what would, I guess, look like a young, slim boy here on Earth, well built, and a very V-shaped chest coming down to a waist and going down.
How about feet?
Feet, I guess I don't really recall. I know that it did have feet, but I don't remember seeing if there was a definite distinction of toes or not. I know that on its hands there were definite fingers and five, just like ours, which I noticed was very assuring, I guess, to me at the time that it did have five fingers, but not that I could tell nails or hair on the arms or anything of that nature. Very again, smooth, and the same uniform whiteness and glow.
What was your friend doing?
My friend remained and stayed right behind me. And in fact, on the moment of the disappearance, I turned around and my first words were, "Dave, did you see that?" And he was merely nodding and assuring me that, yes, he did. He had seen the same thing. And
about how far away was
he? Dave was, I guess, somewhere between 15 and 25, maybe, feet behind me. And not in an exact line. He was all of that. And so he said he had a perfect view of everything that had gone on.
When it disappeared, was there anything different about the area at that time? Any indication that something had been going on?
Nothing that I could really tell you.
Was it still quiet?
Yes, it did. It seemed to still be quiet. I don't know if that was something that remained or something that was in me that I was so concentrating on what had just happened that I didn't notice sound or not, but I don't remember any sounds.
What did you do then after talking to you?
Right, at that point I had gone down the hill and we proceeded to my front door. Going inside.
Did you talk about it on the way?
No, not really. It was just sort of, I said, we ought to go tell my parents. And it was very close, and so it was almost no time for any real conversation. And we got to the front door, and I merely knocked on it because I wanted my parents to come to the door. I wanted them to come outside. So my mother and father, I think my mother appeared at the door first, and I asked Dad to come to the door and told him, at which point my father...
Do you recall what you told him? How you might have described
it? I told him that we had seen a creature, and in fact, I think I described it at the time as a creature, and that it was glowing. And I don't think I got into very much detail. I wanted him to come outside and come with us to see what had happened. And then I think at a later time, I told him in more detail just exactly what I had seen. And at the time, I think I suggested that we call the base police, I guess, or the AP, the air police, before they became military police. But that never went through. My dad just said, no, I don't think we need to. And we never called.
How did he respond to this? I assume that, let's go back then. He came out. Did you then go back to where this had happened?
Well, we went back to where it had happened, but it was very dark, and in fact, we visited the next morning. My dad went out with me again, and so I got up the next morning. I think I was excited the entire night. He got up the next morning and was telling the same story at the dinner table, or the breakfast table, excuse me. And, yes, he did come out with me that night, and we went to the spot, but there was nothing very distinguishable. In the morning, it was easier to see where I had stood on the trail, because my tennis shoes had left markings in the dirt. But approximately 3 feet away, where I remembered it being standing, there was nothing at all. Absolutely nothing.
So, what was your father's reaction to this story with no evidence to support it?
Well, he seemed to remain very calm and listen to me. At the time, my father and I sort of always had a very serious relationship between each other. Sort of things were understood that when one of us said something to the other one, we were being truthful. And I'm sure they can believe how much stock he took in it. That's another story, I imagine. But I think that they did believe that I was telling what I had seen and was being true.
Did either your father or mother suggest doing anything about it?
No, neither one of them. And I guess not being that aware of UFOs at the time that I saw it, or UFO-related phenomena, I thought of doing nothing myself.
Tell anyone other than your parents at that time?
I suppose that within the next few days, friends of mine in the neighborhood, I related the story to. And it was sort of exciting, I guess. It was that prestige one feels from having something unusual happen to them. And I did, in my excitement, tell my close friends. But not very many people. In fact, it was probably four or five and no one.
How did your friends react?
My friends, on the whole, I think, sort of, you know, it was that laugh at first, like, oh, you're kidding me. But with the way I was telling them, I suppose that they must have realized that I had seen something. no matter what I was describing at the moment. And so they tended to believe me on the whole that I had really seen something. And having Dave also, who was approximately 2 years older than myself, telling the same thing was a little bit more credible to most of the people.
Was there any significant difference between your story and Dave's?
In fact, no. And even that night when we told my father, Dave agreed with everything Lane said and made no changes whatsoever in my story.
Did anybody have anything positive to contribute to this? Had anyone seen anything unusual or heard of anything unusual that might possibly fit in with this?
No, not at all. Not that I remember. Maybe you mentioned seeing anything similar or anything unusual.
Your father was in the Air Force?
That's correct.
Can you tell me what he did? What kind of job he had?
At the time, he was a flight engineer. And his duties there at Otis Air Force Base, they were flying EC-121s, which are coastal radar planes. And before that, he'd been in strategic air command, but this was a different branch of which he was before. Then he was a career Air Force for 23 years and finally retired in presidential planes here in Amsterdam.
Do you have any reason to think that he might have told anyone? Any Air Force associates?
No. In fact, I'm pretty positive that I'm sure that he never related the story to anyone. Although as I grew up, I tended to relate the story to good friends when topics of that nature would come up. As I got older, I became more aware of what was going on as far as UFO phenomena, and I think merely because of this incident, I became more interested in little tidbits that I heard and that I've been read about.
To what extent were you aware of UFOs prior to this event?
Not at all. Absolutely not at all. Because of the event itself, I did not sight a UFO of any kind. It never even crossed my mind that this could possibly be in any way related to UFOs. Didn't equate the two at all.
When did you first see some apparent relationship?
I think the first time that I realized there might be some sort of relationship at all was the incident with the black and white couple.
Betty
the interrupted journey. Right. When that became very, I guess, well covered by the media, and I read their story and realized that there might be some connection, just because the creature that I had seen was not, I don't think, very similar to the creatures that they described, but that it was so unusual that it had to be somehow otherworldly, I guess, was the thought that came to me.
Do you recall any talk about UFOs around Otis in those days?
No.
Your friends?
No, not at all. I think at that time I was probably too interested in my next grade on the next exam and things of that nature.
What kind of extracurricular activities were you involved in that era?
Pretty much soccer was becoming popular then. I was playing soccer and was a band student also at the time, involved pretty much with those things that one becomes involved with in elementary school and junior high. I had just entered junior high before we left there. I was involved in student government and drama classes and things like that.
Yeah. So what precipitated your finding something about this?
Well, in fact, I had done things prior. When I was going to college, there was an ad in the Daily Island, which was the campus newspaper, for people who had seen UFOs. And at the time, my roommate was an extremely avid aviation fanatic, and also in UFOs also, and I had told him my story, and he prompted me to respond to the ad. And my sort of story was, well, Dave, I really didn't see a UFO. But he said, yes, but your story's interesting. So he got me to respond. And
this was not the same day?
No, this is not the same day. This is another, my roommate in college. And I responded to the ad. It turned out to be one of two people who responded to the ad and told my story. And in fact, had it printed in the DI, the was the common name for it, the Daily Island. And that was really, really all that I've really done. I was aware of Dr. Heineck at the time because his name came up in the article, his work at the Center for UFO Studies. But
when was this?
This would have been 73-74 academic year at the University of Iowa State. But didn't respond in that sense, didn't think of writing a letter to Dr. Heineck at the time. And it was really only my excitement at seeing the previews for Close Encounters of the Third Kind that I sat down at the typewriter at the office one day and typed out my letter and sent it off. I felt like I wanted this to be a before the fact event, before the movie came out, before I went to see it, so that it wouldn't be a second thought.
Have you since seen it?
No, I haven't seen it since it came out. Nearly reopened, I think, 4 or 5 days ago, but I haven't had a chance to get to it.
A little personal background now. You were at Iowa, say.
That's correct.
Okay, you came out of there with what?
In fact, I went to Drake University my first year and transferred to the University of Iowa in 73 and graduated in 76 with a Bachelor of Arts in East Asian Languages and Literature, really a concentration in Chinese language and studies.
And what are you doing in Washington?
Right now I'm working as a paralegal for a law firm here in D.C.
Okay. Well, you say your interest in UFOs and related matters has increased. Have you run into any other stories that are all similar to your experience?
While I was in Iowa, there were a series of events, but no one who had really seen anything. We had some strange depressions in soybean and corn fields there in Iowa while I was going to college, and I found it extremely interesting. We had a few cattle mutilations and supposedly some sightings of some bizarre, strange, tall, hairy creatures, and I found it exciting. In fact, we cut them out of the newspaper and keep them, but never really exchanged a story with anybody there who had seen a UFO or a creature.
Have you subsequently read any accounts of creatures that you feel are similar to what you've seen?
I tend to see things that are very similar. I guess in the book, The Interrupted Journey, and the subsequent movie that was made from that, I found some similarities in the shapes of the beings that they described as being sort of smooth-skinned and no hair and things like that. But the glowing, I guess, set the thing that I had seen apart from the others, and there was always a mention of some sort of space suit or some sort of garb of some kind, which I couldn't distinguish really, unless it was a single piece thing that was undistinguishable from the body. I just couldn't tell. But they tend to seem along the same lines, I guess smooth, and their eyes tend to be different.
Other than the glow, was there anything non-human about individual yourself?
I guess the only thing that was the distinction was the sort of absence of a mouth, which is the only thing I guess I really noticed as being odd. And I do remember recalling in the description by Betty and Barney Hill that their beings had very thin lips that they remembered. And I guess it occurred to me as a second thought that perhaps he did have a mouth, but no lips. And so, therefore, it was in the glow of the light, it was indistinguishable from the rest of the things. But I didn't think too much about that, I guess, at the time.
Okay.
The only other strange thing, I suppose, would be the gassy aura that surrounded the body. And I think at a later point, a friend of mine even suggested that perhaps the creature wasn't standing on the ground. That perhaps because of this gassy aura, whatever it was, that it was necessary to be around his body, that he wasn't in contact with the ground.
But you didn't see any such thing?
No, I don't recall at all.
Okay, looking back a dozen or so years on this, how do you see it? How do you feel about the experience now?
I find it very strange at times. Sometimes I wonder if, because I remember it so vividly, and I do remember it very vividly, if my mind has somehow supplemented the story in the meantime. And for a long time, I was very interested in the fact that I recall the event that occurred in Pascagoula, Mississippi, of which I have an aunt and uncle who don't live very far from there. There were two gentlemen who sighted a UFO and that they had been put under hypnosis. And I was very interested in the fact that perhaps under hypnosis I might recall something entirely different, or I might recall it, in fact, in greater detail than I do now. But I don't, you know, other than that, really. Although I notice things in the newspapers, I try to have read a few books. Their titles I really couldn't recall to, but I think Frenchman Ballet, I think is his name. I've read some things about him since this event.
Well, can you think of anything?
And Carl Sagan, I suppose, too. I've since read many things about him. But other than that, no.
Okay, well, we'll cut it off at this point.